we are doing a series on money called Money Matters. You may be surprised to know this, but the Bible has a lot to say about money. And I believe the reason that this is true is because money has real power to draw our attention, our focus away from God and to ourselves. It has the power, it's a strong draw, to become an idol. And in case you don't know what an idol is not just a little carving that you put on a, you know, table or something. An idol is anything that stands between you and your relationship with God, anything that's more important. It could be your children are an idol. It could be your money is an idol. It could be your home, hobbies, work. I mean, you name it. It could be the Chicago Bears or those awful Cardinals. Anyway, just kidding. Just teasing. All right, so that's what an idol is. Jesus said, I can recover from that, can't I? Have I lost you? Hang in there. Okay. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus had these words to say. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus is preaching his very first sermon, known as the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Now, why would this topic make it into his very first sermon, especially considering the fact that everyone in his audience was really, really, really poor? So maybe he spoke these words not for the audience that was going to hear it in that day, but for us. I don't know. Now, do you think that this is speaking of Jesus, do you think he was condemning them? Do you think he was saying, "Well, you guys are stupid"? No, he loved them and he spoke the truth with grace. You will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. It's either or, it can't be both. Now remember what I asked you last week. If you weren't here, you don't remember. That would be fantastic if you remembered it. Maybe you watched it online. Does God care more about you or your money? Did Jesus come to earth for your wealth? Did he die on the cross for your stuff? And we know the answer to all those questions is no. He came because he cares about your heart. Now, considering this, that Jesus cares about your heart, and that this topic was in his very first sermon, isn't it ridiculous to avoid this topic about money, even though it is largely avoided? You know, I remember who was here last week and who's not. So you guys are avoiding the topic. I mean, you're here, so you're listening. Or you're caught off guard. You weren't here last week. You had no idea what to expect, and you won't be here next week. Okay. I'm going to remember you. See, I can see all of you from right here. I got a photographic. Okay. You know, I am really off the mark. I'm going to stop teasing around. Here we go. Listen, it's ridiculous to avoid the topic when it's spoken about so much, and it was in Jesus' very first sermon. So the goal for this series, and we just have two more messages in this four-part series, the goal for this series is simply that we obtain a biblical perspective about money, okay? I hope that this message and all these messages and advice will motivate each of us to think more biblically about money and make decisions in line with God's will. Now, last week's message was about financial vision. And I quoted Proverbs 28:29-18, which in the NLT it says, "When people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild." So in the context of your personal finances, it means this. When people don't accept biblical wisdom on money, they spend without restraint. So having proper financial vision or biblical vision for money means this. It means getting out of debt, acting your wage, budgeting, saving, investing, and giving generously. Now these principles, they work in concert. You can't get out of debt unless you act your wage. You can't save for emergencies if you're constantly in debt. You can't give generously if you spend 120% of everything you make. But today we're talking about getting out of debt. This is topic number two. But here's the problem with debt, the topic of debt and borrowing. Here's the problem. The vast majority of people live with debt, and it's normal. Debt and borrowing money is so ingrained in our culture, most people can't envision life without it, so they don't even try. So, I don't know if you've heard this quote from Dave Ramsey before, but he says, debt is normal, be weird. I don't know if you've seen anybody that's got that bumper sticker on their car. I got the bumper sticker, it's not on my car because I don't like bumper stickers on my car, but I got the bumper sticker. Well, here's a simple example of this, okay? All right? You need a new car, okay? So you go to the dealer, you trade in your car, you borrow $18,000 over 5 years, and you get a new car. That is normal. Or you go to the used car lot because you need a car, you pay cash for some hoopty, that's Dave Ramsey's word, save money for an upgrade, and in 2 years, you pay $10,000 plus your trade-in for a better car. Never borrow money to buy a car. Now, this is weird. And all of you are thinking, Mel, that is weird. I remember listening to a young man who came to church one day, and he was talking about the fact that he had to go buy a car. It's like, I got to go buy a car. I've got to borrow this money, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I mean, he's just stating it matter-of-factly. Like it never occurred to him that he could save money, buy a $500 car, drive it for 6 months or a year, sure it'll break down, then pitch it, buy another $500 car until you got money saved, and then buy the car you want. For some reason, it never occurred. Anyway, as Dave says, well, he's, you know, be weird for one thing, but as Dave says, all your broke friends will make fun of you if you do this. But you will have financial peace and stay out of debt if you pay cash for your vehicles. Now, I'm sure most of you are saying this to yourself as well. Easy for you, Mel. Hey, who's that laughing over there? Easy for you. You know, I've tried to save money for a car, and then the stupid thing broke down, and I was pressed. I had to buy one. Or if I had to save up for a car, Mel, I'd be driving around a 1992 broken down Chevette with no AC, no power steering, and windows that have to be manually rolled down. Now, if you're under 25, you're thinking, what is power steering? If you have not had the joy of driving a car without power steering, let me tell you something. Okay? When Andrea and I were first married, I had an old Renault Alliance that had no AC, no power steering. The windows had to be manually drilled. In fact, I don't know who it was. Someone sat in my passenger seat and broke the brackets, and the seat sat on the floor. So anytime I took somebody with this, they just sit down on their floor. They're about this much lower than me, and you know they're wobbling around at every turn. I'm like, they mostly worked too. What was really great though is the ceiling. You guys that are young don't remember this. The ceiling was falling down. All the stuff was falling down in there, and my brakes worked. This is when I learned how to use downshift for braking. You guys know how to downshift for braking? Yeah, I had a lot of experience with that. Anyway. See, listen, financial vision is not seeing the mountain of debt and the mountain of problems you have right in front of you, okay? Vision is seeing things as they will be if you will it. I will not live with debt. I will live within my means. I will save money for emergencies so that when something does happen, I've got money to pay for it instead of borrowing. So living without debt isn't normal. In fact, it's counterculture. But you know what? All of us as Christians are called to live counterculture, aren't we? We're not to go with the stride, go with the stream, go with the flow with the river. We're to live counter. We're supposed to be going the opposite way. So here's the thing. It's important to know this, that having debt, I feel like maybe this gets, there's a sense of condemnation or that, oh, you know, someone's sinning if they're debt. Borrowing money is not a sin. Being in debt is not a sin. For example, you have had emergency surgery, lots of complications, 40 or 50 or 60 days in the hospital. When the dust settles and you're back home and you're recovering, $35,000 of this event is not covered. You have $35,000 in debt. You don't have $35,000 in the bank. You are in debt. It's no fault of your own. That is not a sin. It's not a sin to be in debt or to borrow money whenever you have to. Another example would be if you borrow $55,000 for a truck because it looks cool and you always wanted a truck. Now, maybe this is a sin. It depends on the circumstances. Is this truck necessary for work? If you get this truck, are you going to be able to charge $100 an hour for your time and to recoup that money quickly? Now, maybe it'd be wiser to buy something, you know, less expensive. Maybe spend $15,000, buy a used truck, and then save up the money and buy the one you want later with cash. Anyway, whatever it makes buying this particular truck or anything else for that matter with debt a sin is not the fact that you're borrowing the money. It's the fact that you're making this thing an idol, that you're willing to do whatever it is to sacrifice for this thing, including borrow money that you can't, maybe you can't afford it, but it's still not wise. In fact, if money were your idol, this is the opposite side of this temptation. If money were an idol to you, maybe you would go ahead and pay cash for a $15,000 truck and then hoard the rest of the money because you worship the accumulation of money. That falls right in line with the American idealism. He who dies with the most toys wins, right? He who dies with the biggest bank account wins. So saving your money, staying out of debt, living within your means is certainly wise and biblical. But doing that for the sake of accumulating money, once again, would be sin as well. So you can see, just having debt and having to borrow is not a sin. It's not smart, and you should avoid it, and you should get out of it as soon as possible, but it's not a sin. Let me give you a few verses of Old Testament scripture to back this up. In Deuteronomy 23, it says this: "Do not charge interest on the loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether you loan money or food or anything else. You may charge interest to foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites." Exodus 22:25. "If you lend money to any of my people who are in need, do not charge interest as a moneylender would." In Leviticus 25, "Remember, do not charge interest on money you lend him." If it were a sin to borrow money, then it would be a sin to loan money as well. And the Old Testament scripture would not advocate it, would it? Remember, or if you were an Israelite and you saw a fellow brother and sister in need, it would be a sin to charge them interest, but not to loan them money when they needed it. Now, as a matter of personal conviction, Andrea and myself, if we are in a position to help somebody, we're going to give the money first. If you can't afford to give away money, then don't give it. And if you're going to loan money for whatever reason, again, just a matter of personal conviction, we have never asked or charged anybody interest if we've had to loan money for one reason or another. And again, it's following this biblical principle. Give it if you can, and don't if you can't. And if you can loan it, Don't expect interest in return. Living without debt is counter to our culture, and biblically, having debt isn't necessarily a sin. However, the Bible gives us ample reasons. This is like the, you know, I can't remember the name of that book series. My rich dad, something or other. I can't remember, but what's it? Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Yeah, all kinds of financial advice. Anyway, what the Bible gives us in the book of Proverbs in particular, a lot of this advice with regard to money, is advice. My son, if you are wise, do this. My son, if you're wise, don't do that. And when it comes to finances, that's how a lot of it is couched. Now, this, you know, the steps to, one of the things that I'm not going to share, I mean, you know, just in the balance of this, I'm not going to give you a how to get out of debt, how to do a budget, how to do, there's no how-tos in this conversation, okay? If you want to know how to do something, you could take, go online, just do a quick search for Dave Ramsey and baby steps. There's a little chart. In fact, that gives you all seven baby steps, but the point is there's all kinds of great advice on how to do that. That's not something that I'm going to address. But let's see, I've lost my spot. Anyway, so if you want to learn the how-tos, and this message is over, and you are sufficiently motivated, inspired to do something, do a search on. And number two is we do have a financial piece, which is Dave Ramsey's course that'll be starting soon. If you don't see it in the bulletin, just contact me or contact the office. There'll be an opportunity for you to join a class. Anyway. So I'm not going to go over this practical how-to with regard to debt, but what I want to address is the mindset. Now, the Bible gives us ample motivation and desire and passion, and it should really motivate all of us to address this issue. Now, Dave Ramsey says that he stumbled into this idea by divine revelation. In his little video, he says, because he's a radio call-in, you know, people call in his radio, they ask for advice. And he said when we first started on the radio, he'd have somebody call in and they would say, Dave, I'm getting out of debt. I'm so sick and tired of being in debt. I'm tired of debt collectors. I'm tired of borrowing money for groceries. I'm sick of it. Dave, what do I need to do? You tell me and I'll do it. And then someone else would call. And be like, so Dave, like, how much debt should you have anyway? You know, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not a very good actor. You know, so I'm just kind of wondering, you know, how much debt? You know, I got so much debt. Is that bad? Anyway, the point is, he's listening to these two people, and he's just like, what's going on? And so that night, he was thinking about it, meditating these two voices, and this passage of scripture came to him. It's in Proverbs 6. And this is what it says, Proverbs 6, follow my advice, remember advice, and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now swallow your pride, go and beg to have your name erased, don't put it off, do it now, don't rest until you do. Verse 5, save yourself like a gazelle escaping from a hunter, fleeing like a bird fleeing from a nest. Now, Dave Ramsey said this passage and this stuff came to his mind all at once. He began to share this, and I thought that he would do a great job of explaining how this applies to his teaching and how this applies to you and me. And maybe if I go over here for a couple minutes and watch this video, this fly will leave me alone. Or maybe not. He'll probably follow me over there. Anyway, so I got a video for you to watch. Dave Ramsey's going to passionately.
I was reading through scripture one morning and I hit Proverbs 6, 1 through 7. And it says, if you've signed surety, my son, which is Old English Bible talk for got yourself in debt. If you've gotten yourself in debt, do this. Now I teach people how to get out of debt and I wanted to get out of debt. And so I saw a do this and my little ears went, oh, oh, oh. Because I had a spiritual experience a few years ago. I discovered God is smarter than me. And when he says, you're here and you don't want to be here, so do this, I'm listening for what comes after that. That's a big deal. If you're in debt, biblically, do this. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids, and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I promise you, it's not very reverent, but I promise you, I went, great, gazelles. What am I going to do with gazelles? Great little animal metaphor, talk about it in Sunday school. But, I mean, how are you going to talk to people about gazelles and debt? This doesn't. That night, God answered my prayer. I was scanning the channels, and I hit the Discovery Channel. And there on the Discovery Channel, there was the gazelles. They were out there gazelling around. And what were they doing? Well, I said, well, you know, here it is. There's the gazelles. And you know the gazelles were not there by themselves, right? You know somebody else was around, right? Looking for lunch in all the right places. And gazelles, they have a cheetah detector right behind their ear. When they see a cheetah, they go like, uh-oh, cheetah, run! Now, the Discovery Channel said that the cheetah is the fastest animal on dry land. We had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. He goes from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. Now, it's starting to come clear to me. Here's how you get out of debt. You deliver yourself like the gazelle from the hand of the hunter. The primary predator of the gazelle is the cheetah. Here's how you get out of debt. You run! You gotta bust it! Look, he picked out the college student, didn't he? Hey, you want a free hat? Hey, I'll give you a t-shirt. Just sign up for this credit card. You want a pizza? Hey, come here, kid. You need to build up your FICO score. Come here, kid. That was how you get out of debt. You got to run, baby. You got to put it in gear. You got to go, 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 go. Kick it, baby. Kick it. You know how long we had to look for a clip where he gets away? The truth is that the cheetah doesn't catch the gazelle but 1 in 19 times, and yet he can outrun him. Isn't that weird? What a great metaphor. Cheetah's after your family. Run! This is how you get out of debt. You pop it. Around our place, we find out that people get out of debt when they get gazelle intensity. When they quit caring what their broke friends think and their family who needs counseling thinks. They quit worrying about everybody else's opinion about what they drive. And they sell, they amputate the $40,000 Tahoe. And they're driving a hoopty. A piece of junk. They're going to drive like no one else so that later they get to drive like no one else. Because they want to change their family tree. They want to send their kids to college. They want to change how their grandkids live and their great-grandkids live. A godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. They want to change and they get fired up. When you get fired up, you'll get out of debt. You can wander into debt, honey, but you can't wander out. You got to bust it. The gravitational pull is too strong. It holds you in the orbit. You have to kick the energy to break the orbit. It's the only chance you make it. And if you do it long enough, eventually you get to chase the cheetah. Thank you, Photoshop. I was reading.
I didn't think you'd think it was that funny, but anyway. It's very fun to watch Dave Ramsey get pretty passionate, excited about it, though. Listen, what the Bible does is it gives us advice. And what Dave Ramsey just elaborated to us, we can all picture in our mind. If you want to get out of debt, there has to be serious intensity. As he said, you can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of it. You have to be intense. Gazelle intensity and create a plan. You have to live in a budget, act your wage, so that one day you can give and save and live like no one else. Remember, the goal of this series and this particular message is to give you a biblical perspective on money. Living without debt is counterculture, but it frees you up to give more and to do more with the available time and resources that you have. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross that we could have freedom, that our debt could be, he did that so that our debt would be paid. And financial debt keeps us in bondage, which is the exact opposite of what God wants for our lives. In fact, Jesus came to the earth. When he died on the cross, he paid the debt that you owed. And in order for you to know him and live in that freedom, because he gave his life for us, we owe him a debt of gratitude. We owe him our worship. We owe him our very lives. The debt we have to Christ is the only debt that is good, healthy, and biblical. Paul put it like this in Romans 13:8. He said, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." Jesus gave his life for you. And the question today is, in the context of financial freedom, in terms of biblical freedom, being freed from your sins, being freed and having a relationship with him, you know, have you made the decision to accept that? Have you surrendered your life to him? Now, do you want the kind of freedom, freedom from sin that the Bible talks about, freedom from financial strain and difficulty? It's a matter of understanding the biblical perspective and then practicing that, putting it into practice consistently over a long stretch of time. Now, the elders, I haven't invited the elders to come forward, but when we stand us, when we stand up, the elders are going to come forward. And if, you know, on your heart, you're just like, I just want to say it out loud. I want to say, I am living in financial bondage and I want to be free. Will you pray for me to take what I've learned today and apply it? Now, maybe you're here today for, and you'll, God has stirred in your heart that you want to have a relationship with him. And you've never made that decision. Today's the day to get that started as well. Say, "Lord, I'm ready to take that step." So when we stand up and sing during the invitation time, if God has stirred in your heart and you want prayer, then come forward. I just want you to imagine what life would be like if you got completely out of debt. Think about how much money you could save, how you could invest for your kids' college or your grandkids' college, and how much you could give. It releases you to serve the one that we have a great debt to, the one we owe our allegiance to, the one we owe our worship to. But we have to choose to be free. We have to make that choice. Now, whether it's financial bondage or whether it's bondage to sin, we still have to have intensity to get out of it. And so that's what I want to encourage you guys with this morning. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us and giving us advice and counsel, biblical wisdom with regard to money. I thank you, Lord, that that you're gracious to us. I know myself for sure. I'm sure everyone here can say the same. We've made so many mistakes when it comes to money. You know, we deserve, you know, the circumstances and situations we're in oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would forgive us first and foremost where we are, our priorities are not what they should be. We're thinking worldly or thinking about our desires, and we're making idols out of, you know, vehicles or homes or money or whatever the case might be. And so I'm just praying, Lord, that you would correct us, teach us, forgive us, and help us to live not just in financial freedom, thank you for that, but, Lord, to live free from sin, free from the things of this world that distract us and keep us from following you as we should. Thank you for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.